It is time for us to pray to dedicate this building. Will you all stand, please? O Lord, how we thank Thee for Thy love in manifesting to Thy people the ability to worship Thee in a given place and at a given time. We thank Thee for this building. And we know we cannot give it to Thee, Lord, without first giving ourselves to Thee. And this we do, Lord. We thank Thee for what Thou art. We thank Thee for all that Thou hast done. And we pray that Thou would receive this gift of ourselves and also of a building. And we pray that Thou wilt use it to Thy glory. We have not built it for ourselves, Lord. We have built it for Thee. And we ask that Thou wilt take it and make Thy presence manifest here. May each person who comes to this church recognize that God lives here, that God abides in this place where His people serve and pray and worship. We thank Thee, Lord, that Thou, who art the giver of all good gifts, will accept our humble gift to Thee. And we pray that this gift may be used to train missionaries, to train pastors, to train Christian workers. We pray that what is done here may bear fruit for all eternity. And we pray that Thou wilt use this blessed gift to accomplish Thy purpose in the lives of many people. And we ask, Lord, that Thou wilt do it for us too. Mold us, change us, make us what we ought to be for Thee. And by our assembling together for Thee, we ask that Thou wilt transform us by Thy presence into living examples for the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that He might receive the glory and that He might receive the benefit of this building and of our lives. Hear us, Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen. A dedication is a consecration, a setting apart for the use of God, something. People can dedicate themselves to God. We can dedicate a building to God. In each act, it is a matter of giving. Sometimes we speak of a Christian being a devout Christian. And most of us, I'm sure, would consider ourselves such. But oftentimes, they don't recognize what that means. A person who is devout is a person who is given. A devout Christian is a Christian who is given to God. Many Christians still have strings attached. They like to feel they have a nice relationship with God, but they want to run things. And they don't want God telling them what to do. But a person who is really devout is the person who has given himself into God's hands. And he is prepared to do what God says. He is prepared to obey what the Bible says because he belongs to God. And for us to give a building to God, this is hollow hypocrisy if we will give a building instead of ourselves. He will not accept it. If we dedicate a building to God, it must be with the heart attitude that we are given to God and that He has the right to use us as He desires because we belong to Him, even as His building belongs to Him. In Psalm 29, verse 2, David expresses this so well. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. I'd like to think about that verse. David is saying an awful lot in just a few words. When he says, give the glory to Jehovah, the glory that is due His name. Jehovah is the one supreme God, creator of all things. Redeemer of His Old Testament people, Israel. He is also the head of the church. He is Lord of all who name the name of Jesus Christ as Savior. To give Him glory means that we are recognizing the Lord of the universe, Creator of all, Redeemer of His people, King of kings, and Lord of lords. There are so many places in Scripture that refer to this responsibility that His people have to glorify Him, to give Him the glory that He deserves. In Psalm 57:5, He says, "Let thy glory be above all the earth, be exalted above the heavens." In verse 7, David says, "My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed, I will sing and give praise." Now here David is expressing that heart devotion that he has. He has given God his life, and he is serving, but he is prepared to celebrate God, to give Him the glory that He really deserves. In Psalm 63, David expresses it this way, "O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee, my flesh longeth for Thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary." Yes, David never had the opportunity of worshiping in the temple. He prepared for it. But he worshiped God. His heart was right with God. And he sang God's praises. The language he used is the language we can use in the Psalms to celebrate God. And yes, he did worship God at the tabernacle. That was the sanctuary he knew. And he did sing God's praises there. But he prepared for the worship of the temple. In Psalm 72 and verse 19, there's a prayer for Solomon. "Blessed be His glorious name forever. Let the whole earth be filled with His glory. Amen and amen." That was David's conclusion. He prayed for his son, but in the process glorified God and sang His praises, as is right for us to do as well. In Psalm 96, verse 3, "Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods." Ah yes, the rest are idols. They are nothing but vanity. But our God is the true God, and we can celebrate His glory and declare it to all. In our own humble way today, we declare how great He is. But He is much greater than all we could say, far greater than all of us put together could express. But His glory is worth the telling. In Psalm 104, verse 31, "The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in His works." His glory is not limited to a short time. His glory cannot be expressed by people in this world. It will take us all eternity to ascribe the proper glory to Him. It is eternal, and part of the joy of heaven will be hearing the celestial choirs and joining with them in celebrating the glory of God. It is something we can begin here with thanksgiving, but there's much more to come. His glory is eternal. In Psalm 113, verse 4, "The Lord is high above all nations, His glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth Himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth?" How great He is! How marvelous a Creator and a Savior that we have! But we have the privilege of having Him look after us, take care of us, provide for us. How great that He would humble Himself to pay attention to such poor, miserable creatures as we are. What a privilege we have of singing His praises and ascribing glory to Him which he so richly deserves. In Psalm 138, verse 5, "Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off." Yes, he pays attention to his people, the lowly, the poor, the humble, who sing his praises, but the proud, who are too busy to acknowledge him, he knows afar off. Thank God that he knows us as dear children. Thank God that he knows us close, not afar off. What a wonderful privilege we have to celebrate such a God. But I want us to come back to Psalm 29. And notice the last half of that psalm. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Now, to give glory is one thing. To worship is something beyond that. To give glory is to praise and honor the Lord. But to worship Him is to ascribe to Him true deity. He is our God. He is everything to us. He is a proper object of worship. We not only celebrate His glory, but we bow down before Him and worship Him because He is worthy of our worship. In Psalm 22, "All the kindreds of the nations shall worship before Thee," verse 27 says. And that is in response to the Lord's sacrificial offering of Himself, the great messianic psalm that describes the suffering of the Lord Jesus on behalf of the sins of the world. But yes, all of that is going to mean worship for Him, because what He has done, only the God-man Jesus Christ could do. In Psalm 45 and verse 11, the psalmist speaks to the bride in that psalm and says, "He is thy Lord, and worship thou Him." But that is another messianic psalm. The king in that psalm is the Lord Jesus, King of kings, Lord of lords. And here His bride is told to worship Him. We are the bride. If you know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, you are part of that bride. And you have the right and privilege of worshiping your heavenly bridegroom. And that is beyond all imagination. Why should God, in His magnificence and perfection, desire a fellowship with poor, humble creatures? We do not think that way. The contrast is so great. For a man to go out in his backyard and dig up an anthill and bring it into his house and say, "I'm going to love these creatures," we would think he's a little crazy. Only odd people do things like that. But friends, the gulf between man and ant is a whole lot narrower than the gulf between Almighty God and His creatures. And He summons us as His bride and brings us into the courts of light to fellowship with Him. Oh, how great He is! How we should worship Him for this! There's none of us that can give a reason for that. There is no human reason. The answer Scripture gives, He loves us. That's beyond thought. Why should He love us? We are worth nothing, but He loves us still. And by His grace exalts us into His courts of glory. What tremendous love, infinite love. And yes, we bow down before Him and worship Him. He is our great God. He is also our loving bridegroom. How marvelous that is, and how worthy of worship in His blessed name. Psalm 66 and verse 4 says, "All the earth shall worship Thee and shall sing unto Thee." Yes, the day is coming. There will be a great millennial reign, and all the earth will worship God. In Psalm 86 verse 9, "All nations shall come and worship before Thee, O Lord, and shall glorify Thy name." That day is coming. Psalm 95, 6. "O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." Psalm 99, 5. "Exalt ye the Lord our God worship at his footstool, for he is holy. In Psalm 132, verse 7, we will go into his tabernacles. We will worship at his footstool. And yes, in Psalm 138, verse 2, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. What a great privilege he has sent to us, his love letter, this blessed book. And we can read it as a message from our bridegroom. And in absentia, we worship him and glorify him. But yes, he is with us in spirit. But the day will come when we shall see him face to face. And all the trials and all the struggles of this world will be as nothing, because the consummation will be there. And by his grace, we shall be part of it. But friends, we have not exhausted the meaning of the last phrase. We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. It is not in the beauty of a building, no matter how beautiful that may be. It is in the beauty of holiness that we worship God. God doesn't need a building, but God is holy. And any who approach him must come with clean hands and a pure heart. For he is holy, and those who come to worship are also holy, set apart for God. Friends, holiness in the sight of God is beautiful. We tend not to think that way. We tend to have other standards of beauty in this realm. But God looks upon holiness as beauty, and we must never forget this. There are very beautiful buildings in this world, some of them cathedrals and such, and people marvel over the beauty of the architecture. But the people who are there are lost. They don't know about the grace of the Lord Jesus. They're performing works to earn their way to heaven. And God sees nothing beautiful there at all. And he will not see anything beautiful here if we do not worship him and in holiness serve him with single-minded devotion. The beauty of holiness is a remarkable phrase. Psalm 47:8 says, God sitteth on the throne of his holiness. Psalm 48, verse 1, great is the Lord, greatly to be praised in the city of our God, the mountain of his holiness. That is his characteristic. Psalm 93:5, holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever, because he is holy. And in Psalm 110, that great messianic psalm, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He is our great high priest, who not only has performed the ceremony of redemption, he has given himself as the sacrifice for the redemption, and in holiness has redeemed for himself a people. How great is the love of God, and how great is his holiness, that he would sacrifice his own dear Son to bring us into his presence. But it was Isaiah who saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, and he heard the seraphs cry, holy, holy, holy. And the doorposts trembled with the sound of the cry. That is our bridegroom. That is the one who loves us. That is our Savior. But Isaiah saw him, and he was struck with one thing, his unholiness. Woe is me, he cries out, for I am undone, for I have seen the Lord, friends. We must realize how great He is, how infinitely holy He is, and we are not. My friends, this is a beautiful occasion, but it's an occasion when all of us must face our own nature. We are sinners by nature. We need the forgiveness of God. His holiness doesn't belong to us. If we are holy, it is because He has given it to us. And like Isaiah, we must recognize how incongruous it is for us to come before a holy God, stained by sin, diminished by the presence of evil. Friends, you have come to share with us a beautiful occasion. But if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, and you have not been washed in the blood of the Lamb, you cannot worship God, for He is holy. And the only way any of us can come to His presence is if the blood of Christ blots out the stains, removes the sin, and makes us what we ought to be by His grace. My friends, the blood of Jesus Christ can purge away every stain. It would be terrible for a person to come to a lovely occasion like this and go away, lost, unforgiven, because he would not ask to be saved. Every head bowed and every eye closed. In this quiet moment, my friends, do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Are you sure? Have you come to the foot of the cross and asked Him to blot out your sins and wash you in His precious blood? If you have never done that, would you do it right now? Would you ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins? Because He died and His blood is sufficient to cleanse away from you the stains and the sins of the past. If that is your heart's prayer, would you slip up your hand and say, I need that. Pray for me. Is there someone here who would say that? Don't wait. O Lord, how we thank Thee for Thy presence among us. How we thank Thee for how great Thou art, for Thy glory and Thy forgiving compassion, for the majesty of Thy person and the love that is there. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt accept our hearts that we hold up before Thee, and this building that we also put in Thy hand. And we ask Thee to take these humble gifts. Use them for Thy glory. May the Lord Jesus be honored in this place. May Thy holy name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, always be honored at Trinity Bible Church. Give us the grace to serve Thee with humble devotion, that the Lord Jesus might receive all the glory. Hear us, Lord, for Jesus' sake.